And welcome into After Hours. Jay Binkley for the next couple of hours with Blake Schneiders producing the operation. NFL Network, defensive line and linebackers, defensive ends going today. Actually, they went until 7. It was 2 till 7 today, Blake. Big news on the Chiefs front. Trey Smith, you got him coming back. Unless they work out a trade for the Kansas City Chiefs, which could happen. What's up, Blake?
What's going on, Bink Man? How we doing, baby?
So the franchise tag, $23.4 million for Trey Smith. They'll probably get a long-term solution done. They got until March 4th to put franchise tags on somebody. It opened up on the 18th of February, closes March 4th. They have until July 15th to get a long-term contract, or the player plays for 1 year under their tagged amount. I expect them to get this deal done with Trey Smith. Yes, they could trade him for more draft capital. That's something they would do. But then again, you look at it and say, well, they've got to have this offensive line. And I've always thought, you know, you build things around Patrick Mahomes. You got him one time in his career. This is probably going to be the best quarterback you ever have, the most accomplished quarterback you ever have in Kansas City. If you have a better one, that'd be awesome. But he's been the 5 of the last 6 Super Bowls. We went a long time without going to one. 1970 through 2019. Well, it was just a little bit, just a minute. I remember this franchise going 21 years without even winning a playoff game, Blake. That's probably a good part of your lifetime. They never even won a playoff game. But yes, Trey Smith, I think, will come back. They're in a quandary because you look at the offensive line. If Trey Smith comes back, which I do believe he will, Creed Humphrey is one of the highest paid centers. Joe Tooney is definitely one of the higher paid guards. And then Trey Smith's going to set the market for guards again. Juwan Taylor, one of the higher paid right tackles in the league. So you say, all right, this offensive line was terrible down the stretch. They can't run the ball. Not like they should. To have those kind of maulers up front, they should be able to run the ball better. Well, through the middle. 3rd and 1, 4th and 1 shouldn't be a problem with this team. It shouldn't. I know they don't like to do the push, and they won't do it. But even turning around and handing it off, you should get first downs. With these kind of maulers up front, you should be able to do it. But right now, this leaves just left tackle being the option for the Kansas City Chiefs. I believe Trey Smith comes back. I think this signals the end of Nick Bolton with the Kansas City Chiefs. Clearly, they only have so much money that can go around. The salary cap did go up this year to $279 million. Per team, it was at, what, $255 last year? So it has continued to go on up with the media rights deals the teams have. But, you know, there's more to spend now if for a guy like Trey Smith. So you see this deal come out as soon as the NFL released these official numbers. Salary cap has really jumped. 2022 is $208 million. 2023, $224,800,000. 2024, $255.400. This year, $279 million, $200,000. They keep printing money, and they should. I mean, you're playing these extra games now overseas. You got another Brazil game this year. You had London. They're doing a lot of international games now in the NFL. They should be printing money. But this move going forward, Blake, yes, it does leave you at the left tackle dilemma. Like, what do you do? Like, do you feel confident with this offensive line right now with Trey Smith? I mean, you got to think about it. I mean, he does a lot of good things for this team. Trey Smith has definitely outperformed being a 6th-round pick. The guy is a mauler. He's a pancake guy. He does play with an attitude. Like, I like certain things about Trey Smith's game. I'm good with this.
Oh, yeah, I'm 100% good with it. I mean, I think the Chiefs have the best interior 3. I mean, if you're talking about 3 beefy guys right in the middle, they have the 3 best guys. I mean, you couldn't ask for a better lineup in the middle. Now, obviously, they've been shaky at tackle, left, right, doesn't really matter for the last 2-3 years. It's kind of been a revolving door. But those 3 guys in the middle, Creed, Tooney, and Smith, I don't think you can separate those guys. Those are going to be your way to win and a way to solidify your run game in the 2025 season. So, no, I do not think that they should let him go to free agency. Obviously, today they hit him with the franchise tag. A conditional franchise tag, I believe. And they should work on, especially with the cap space, getting him long term. He should be a part of the future, especially if you want to protect and let Patrick Mahomes be able to rip that thing and build a run game for next season.
Right now, we'll take just a quick timeout for that legal ID.
Just go ahead and roll with it, Bink. You want to say it yourself?
No, we're fine. No, no, we're fine, buddy. I just thought we had to go ahead and play it and get it out of the way and stuff like that. But listen to 96.5, the Fan, Kansas City. I'll tell you this much, though, Blake. This offensive line, yeah, it's a concern because you want Mahomes to have that time in the pocket. Remember the St. Joe Chiefs last year? I keep wanting to go back to the St. Joe Chiefs. And we're going to hear from Brett Veach in just a little bit, all the things he kind of said at the combine. You try to piece them together because he has said things in the past. You got to take some things with a grain of salt. I know they worked out, they're working out different guys and you're seeing different guys. The Chiefs are, you know, talking to at the combine. And someone asked me on Twitter, they said, because we do Character Concerns podcast, we've done it the last 3 years, me and Chris and Osara, we take a look at the draft, specifically the Kansas City draft and who they're going to be looking at. Does it really matter? Do they really throw smoke screens? And they do. They do. There's guys they didn't talk to, you know, throughout the process. You know, I don't think Travis Kelce was the guy they spoke to a ton during the process, if they did at all. And sometimes they do. Last year, they talked to Xavier Worthy at the combine. It was really Xavier Worthy's interview that kind of blew him away. It was that sit down with Andy Reid, and they sat back and said, okay, we really like this guy. This guy's a very cerebral guy. We understand why he's all big academic, all Big 12 now.
Well, and I think he proved that in almost every interview or every sit down highlight piece that you saw from him throughout the season. I mean, the kid. I'm going to say this because I'm older than him. The kid is very well put together, and when he speaks, it's just, I mean, he means business when he talks.
No, he does.
He's very smart.
But they talked to Derek Harmon.
You can see that at such a young age.
No, he does. He was sitting there diagramming plays of what everybody's supposed to be doing and blocking. You know, the different assignments everybody had besides his own. And that blew the Chiefs away, the kind of intangible that they look for, you know, in players. And, yeah, they look for guys like that. Text line brings up a good point. Do you want to pay the line more that just got obliterated? Well, I don't think it was Trey Smith. That's not your problem. Your problem is your tackles. They've already paid Juwan Taylor. You're already paying that big money right tackle. Kingsley Suamattia didn't materialize to be that left tackle of the future for the Chiefs. Now, which direction they go in? Could they go a trade again? Will the Baltimore Ravens even pay attention to the Chiefs like they did last time with Orlando Brown and the Nick Bolton pick, which is pick 58 that came over in that deal with the Ravens? I don't see them doing business with the Chiefs anymore. Maybe they will. I didn't think Buffalo would, to be honest with you. After the McDuffie thing, that they wanted McDuffie and they ended up drafting Kyrie Elam because the Chiefs jumped up and got him. After the Patrick Mahomes deal they have to live with all the time. Now they're talking themselves into Josh Allen's MVP is the end-all be-all. That's what they like. They hang banners in Kansas City. They don't celebrate MVPs. But it's Buffalo.
I think to the texter's comment, what I would say was you cannot judge the Kansas City's offensive line by how they played in the biggest game on the biggest stage. And I only say this because they patchworked Tooney at left tackle.
No, he was. He was.
They patchworked him, which, guess what? His best position is left guard. And when you have 100%. Those three interior guys playing their best positions, that's one thing. But then you take one of the best guys out and move him to a position. Is he a little familiar with it? Yeah, but he's not. That's not his position. You've now disrupted the entire interior and put a guy who's less experienced on the outside. You've now completely, essentially put in shambles the inner workings of your O-line. Yeah, it sucked. It sucked to watch. But I wouldn't judge the offensive line based on that performance.
No, it was bad. I mean, it was. But, you know, Tooney did a job, you know, against good pass rushers in the NFL. Did a great job against Myles Garrett, you know, continuing, you know, not giving up sacks going forward. But he was out of position. Yeah, I mean, the guy did start three consecutive Super Bowls when he was drafted because he was with the Patriots before that. And he was the only guy ever to do that, start three consecutive Super Bowls. But, you know, and then he goes to Kansas City and had success. And Creed Humphrey's got a couple rings. Trey Smith's got a couple rings with this team. So clearly they can do it. Now, the tackles are the problem. Juwan Taylor has led the NFL in penalties the last couple of years, but he's probably not going anywhere with that contract. He's not going anywhere. Left tackle, yes, they need to work on it. Is it through free agency? I don't know. I tend to think it is because it's not sitting at 31. I mean, everybody's like, well, you should get an lineman for the draft. Well, you know, they've been in this situation before. They were in the situation, remember when it was Sam Cosmi and Liam Eichenberg and all these guys? They ended up being like guards or right tackles or guards, not staying a left tackle. You know, and that was the situation last year when they're sitting at 31. Everybody won these tackles, but they all got moved to guard or right tackle.
Well, and Cosme was a guy that I looked at coming out of Texas.
I like Sam Cosme a lot, too.
And Washington moved him to guard.
But a lot of these guys move position. Now, DJ Humphreys becomes an option, but again, you got to worry about it because it didn't allow the Chiefs to be the Chiefs. The St. Joe Chiefs were a team that we were seeing highlights of every single day of these bombs down the field. Whether it was to Hollywood Brown, whether it was to Xavier Worthy, you were seeing those bombs. You remember that? It would be all over X and everything. You'd see the highlights of Mahomes just airing it out. You know, you got to give him time. And you got to limit. The best asset to this football team is Mahomes. That should be a number one priority for blocking for him. They've worked on the defense. Defense has been the priority in the draft the last couple of years. I remember 2 years ago we were sitting there, you know, doing the draft out at center block. You know, back when it was in Kansas City, that Friday night was the only night they went offense. They went Rashee Rice, and they went Wanya Morris. It was the only offensive players they've selected. Now, will Kingsley move to guard and be a backup guard? Maybe. But you're not going to get your left tackle. Free agency might be the only option. They're going to tie up a bunch of money in that offensive line. Where do you know that? And they should. That should be the stalwart. That give Mahomes the time to throw down the field. I know that we saw a garbage time touchdown there to Xavier Worthy at the end of the Super Bowl. It was a dime, though.
It was a beautiful pass.
It was a dime, but you know they've done that before. They did that against the Chargers.
And yeah, it was a garbage downfield time touchdown, but it was still on their number ones. It's not like they had subbed in all of their number twos at that point. People wanted to say that, and that was not the truth.
913-586-7965 is our phone number. But this is an important combine for Brett Veach. I bring it up all the time, Blake, but remember a couple years ago at Super Bowl 57 parade against the Eagles? He held up to Lombardi, said this is what a rebuild looks like.
Yes.
And that was a draft loaded with guys that ended up being tangible guys to help this team. They did. They had to be starters. Like Mahomes took up more money than anybody that's ever won a Super Bowl as far as a quarterback cap money. Took up more cap money. So you got to spread that money around. Now, you can do other things with it. You can massage the cap, which I do expect them to do. SpotRack put a nice little thing out here. SpotRack that does a great job of salary caps. They put quick fixes on Twitter for the Chiefs. Convert Patrick Mahomes' roster to a signing plus $25.8 million. Convert Chris Jones' roster bonus to signing plus $12 million. Convert Travis Kelce's roster bonus to signing plus $10 million. Extend Joe Tooney at 2 years, $40 million, $20 million bonus, plus $10 million. So there are ways around it.
No, and I'm in agreement. I said that initially, and Patrick's been really good about it feels like he does it every year, every other year, though. He restructures, gets a signing bonus, whatever, converts it. I think that that obviously you want to give Trav everything he's got, convert that as well. There is a lot of moves, and don't think that for 1 second – anything, you know, all the armchair quarterbacks, all the fantasy managers who want to talk about football, don't think that none of these things are Brett Veach isn't already thinking of and have already got plans behind the scenes, because he's got stuff going on and he knows how to massage that cap. I mean, he always seems to do it every year. We're surprised. And yet this year, you know, they got about $8 million right now, technically. And then next thing you know, you're going to have a whole lot more. And you're going to be like, where'd Veach get this from?
Yeah, they got tail whipped in the Super Bowl. We've seen it before. They were whipped on the offensive line against the Buccaneers. They quickly fixed it around. You got to put talent on offense, because what they did was smoke and mirrors, man. They won 15 games, which is crazy. They went to the Super Bowl again, which is crazy. This team has played, you know, three extra games a year, essentially. They've either gone to the AFC title game in overtime and lost, or gone to the Super Bowl and lost. You're bound to hit a wall at some time. Unfortunately, it was the Super Bowl when the Eagles totally manhandled the Chiefs offensive line without blitzing. They just took care of them with the front, and that's obviously a need for the Chiefs in the draft this season. Brett Veach spoke not only on Cody and Gold, but at the Combine as well. 913-586-7965 is the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. More about the Chiefs next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back, Jay Binkley. After Hours, Blake Schneider's producing the operation. Happy National Toast Day. Do you like toast?
I do like toast, especially with a little something on it. Not usually just bear.
Butter?
butter, jelly, maybe
cinnamon.
A little cinnamon. I like a little cinnamon sugar toast.
Peanut butter.
Love me some peanut butter.
There you go.
A little avocado sometimes.
Yeah, do a lot of things with it. Looks like Travis Kelce's coming back. New Heights was all over it on Twitter. And, of course, Pat McAfee said sources telling him it was Kelce. Because he goes, my dog, boom, 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 exclamation mark, exclamation mark, exclamation mark, which does help him in the draft. Like, that does help them in the draft. No question about it. The 918 tells me they hit on at least three draft picks. They do. I mean, last year, they hit on Worthy. I do believe, because there was a lot of people thinking the Chiefs should go ahead and take a tackle at 31. I was like, no. You take a wide receiver. They moved up a couple spots there at 28 and got Xavier Worthy. But he led the Chiefs in receptions through the postseason. That pick ended up being just fine. Jared Wiley was hurt. Kingsley, wait and see on him. Jaden Hicks, you hit on him. You got your heir apparent for Reed when he walks. So they hit on a few of them. Yes, they do need to hit on them. Now, 2022 is when they hit on a lot of people. Trent McDuffie, George Karlaftis, and which wasn't a very good draft, to be honest with you. That was the year where Kenny Pickett was the only first-round quarterback. Yeah. It was Desmond Ridder that went as well. There was three of them in the top three rounds. There was nine quarterbacks. Take Chris Olatokin, the Chiefs' third-string quarterback. He was drafted.
Wow.
In that draft. It was Brock Purdy. Ended up being the best quarterback, and he was selected in the seventh round and final pick. So
I think that was the year that seven of the eight draft picks that the Chiefs had ended up either starting or having significant playing time.
They went to camp, and 21 of the previous 22 draft picks were still on the roster. And this was a Super Bowl championship roster, not like just a regular NFL team where you say, oh, the draft picks play. Okay, big deal. Well, they played. Jalen Watson was part of that group. Isaiah Pacheco was in that draft class. Again, guys that really contribute. Brian Cook, guys that Leo Chanel. So guys that really contributed. That 2022 draft was brilliant for the Chiefs. And sometimes when you're just taking a wide receiver, you're going to miss on guys, man. They missed on Sky Moore. But you know what? They hit on Rashee Rice.
I mean,
because outside of Puka, he was second amongst all receivers in yards and catches.
Well,
his rookie year.
And before his injury this year, he was slated to have a huge season. He looked fantastic. Now, obviously, he's going to have, whatever legal issues come this year. Still don't know what the suspension aspect is going to be, but it'll obviously be something. So, but I think Worthy's progress from last year, his numbers looked very similar to Mecole's first year. If anybody remembers, Mecole, I think, had either between 5 and 700 yards his first year, but he had 8 touchdowns. Worthy, similar production, but it just looked leaps and bounds above that first year that they got Mecole.
And he got a few touchdowns rushing the ball, three of them there when he's running the football. And an adequate player. And I know a lot of people were like, when they drafted him, because I think we had him on our first mock and character concerns last September. Like our very one of those very early ones. We went Xavier Worthy. We didn't end up when it got closer to the draft, but early on we did. And you're talking about a guy that is undersized, did run the 4.21, but we didn't draft him in a mock just because of the 4.21 40, which obviously bodes well for him because it was the fastest time ever recorded in a 40-yard dash. But many people say he's just a vertical route guy, just a 9-route guy. No, he could do it all. He led Texas in yards and receptions for 3 straight years. University of Texas, 3 straight years in catches and yards. 2 of the 3 years, he led him in touchdowns. So this guy wasn't just a one-trick pony. This guy could do a lot of different things. He was undersized, but he was tough.
Well, and I think in the Super Bowl, it proved it. But his ball tracking skills down the field have gotten. Now, obviously, in the beginning of the season, he had a little issue with field awareness.
Sidelines, field awareness, 100%. Yeah.
But I think he corrected that, you know, getting into that mid-season, later into the season. He's a rookie, you know, after getting a full two entire off seasons in this system with the trust of Patrick Mahomes, I think next year he's gonna explode. You know, I think he could very well be a 1,000-yard receiver next year.
Yeah, and we'll get to the running back situation as well, because I do think they need to draft running back as far as this draft. It's very deep, not to get one in the first round or second round, but mid rounds, I definitely tried to hit on one if I was the Chiefs. And wide receivers, because you can't always bank on what you go into season with. I mean, Hollywood Brown was hurt, boom, first play of the preseason, out. And you got him back at the end of the year, but you didn't get that production from him. Rashee Rice was off to a great start, boom, gone for the year. So you're basically without your 1 and 2 receivers for most of the year. You had to rely on a rookie getting better. They didn't have all 3 of them. Didn't have all three of them for the year. I mean, it was a big miss. Kelce coming back does help this team, because they don't necessarily need to go out and get like a Tyler Warren type, which you'd have to trade way down for to get, if that's where they're going, because he's an unbelievable tight end. He reminds me a lot of, you know, the Brock Bowers effect. I don't think he's going to have the yards and catches Brock had this year for sure. But let me tell you this much. Tyler Warren's going to be a perennial Pro Bowler.
I don't know how much stock you put into this, but obviously the internet sleuths have talked about it, and even I believe some analysts have tweeted it. But how much stock do you put into the Kyle Pitts trade aspect?
Not a lot. He's just underperformed. I just don't know. All the talent potential in the world, but no.
Do you put any blame of that, speaking about Pitts, obviously, on the terrible Atlanta Falcons offensive system and their inadequate quarterback play over the last couple of years?
Well, they shouldn't be now, because they've made that switch to Penix. But you look at the team, I love their wide receivers, love what they're doing, love the running backs with Tyler Algier, and they didn't even need Bijan. Bijan's like extra for them. Dude wasn't good against the Chiefs, though. 2 yards of carry against the Chiefs. Algier was coming off a 1,000-yard year before they drafted Bijan Robinson.
That was every running back against the Chiefs, though. I mean, I don't. Yeah. How many guys ran over 100 yards? I think one, maybe.
They didn't give up a 100-yard rusher.
There you go.
But except for Lamar Jackson, he had 122.
Yeah, but he didn't quarterback count.
But anyway, Brett Veach spoke, and I'll get to that, because he does comment on Hollywood Brown and will he bring him back, and he comments on the left tackle as well. Talk about that stuff next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
And welcome back to After Hours. Jay Binkley, Blake Snyders. Looks like Travis Kelce's coming back. Franchise tag to one Trey Smith. Now it's about working on the left tackle. The combine is going on now. Still doing some drills. Some of the groups for defensive line. Still going defensive line linebackers tonight. If you're interested in the draft, which I am, tomorrow. Between 2 and 8 defensive backs, tight ends. So if you're interested in that, which I am, Saturday is going to be fun, March 1st. Quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. One quarterback ran last year, the 40, Sam Hartman. Guys aren't running, doing things in the combine anymore, Blake. They're just not. They're cherry-picking what they're doing. They're not doing the vertical, the broad bench, and all that. They're cherry-picking which ones they do. And a lot of guys, like, nah, I'll just do it at the pro day. Like Abdul Carter, you know, perceived number one overall pick. He's not going to have surgery, it looks like, pro day. Austin Jeanty, pro day. Travis Hunter will do it as pro day. Shedeur Sanders, pro day. They're not going to do the combine. They're going to do the pro day, which it's an interesting thing, though, Blake, because, you know, if I wanted the quarterback, and definitely with wide receiver, don't you kind of want them to be uncomfortable a little bit? Like get in a situation where you don't know, if you're the quarterback, you don't know the wide receivers inside and out. You don't have that familiarity you're going to have at pro day with throwing to your guys. They know exactly what you're doing, because when you go to an NFL team, you got a bunch of new guys, and scouts will take that into account, who you're throwing to and the kind of routes they're running.
I think it definitely shows how well you can adapt as a player. I mean, I get the whole, hey, why go do it in a situation I'm unfamiliar with when I'm going to have an off season, I'm going to have training camps and whatever. But I do think it does tell you something about, one, the mentality of the player, and especially if they go out and perform with somebody they're not used to playing with.
But at least they're getting the medicals done, because I remember what a mess it was during COVID. They weren't getting them into like that day.
Yeah, no, that was not good.
It was a mess. It was an
absolute. But I understand it. I get it, but I think it does say something about the mental aspect of a player, how well you can adapt on the fly.
Sunday, you've got the offensive lineman. I know people are going to be interested in the offensive line, and that'll be Sunday. Saturday's quarterbacks, wide receivers, and running backs. That's where the fun is, man. In my opinion, that's where it is. It'll be 1 to 8 on Saturday. It'll be at noon to 4 on Sunday. Have to adjust these times, because they always put things in Eastern, you know? Like that's the only like time zone that matters to them. Brett Veach did speak. He not only spoke on Cody and Gold, but also at the Combine. If they'd like Hollywood Brown back in the possible trio of Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, and Xavier Worthy. Here's Brett Veach.
Well, yeah, certainly. And I think we were all excited never got to see what we wanted to see in early on in our time at St. Joe's, just the trio of Hollywood, Rasheed, and Xavier. And we were kind of hoping they would grow into a dominant trio there. And Xavier did his part, and he came on strong at the end, much like Rasheed did. But unfortunately, we never really got to see all three of those guys out there. And we did get Hollywood back late in the season, and Xavier did take that step up. But, you know, the reality of it is, and hopefully he's healthy, Rasheed's our most gifted guy in terms of, I mean, he has a complete skill set. You know, he has more vertical ability than people think, but he's such a dominant player in that intermediate game. He's almost like a running back. And so if you added him with Xavier and Hollywood, you really get, you know, the entire skill set that you're looking for in regards to long game, intermediate game, and then the short game. And all three of those guys had elements of doing each one. Now, each guy does something a little bit different and unique, but certainly, you know, it'd be great to get Hollywood back here, and you know, we'll have communication with him. I mean, he actually has the same agent as Trey, so that will be a good conversation to have. And but I think if we can get those three guys back, that would be something that we'd be interested in, and hopefully we get to see all the things that we were excited about and Chiefs fans were excited about that never really came to be just because of the injury situation. But getting Rasheed back and getting both those guys back, and then, as you mentioned, having Xavier take that step up late in the season, I think, you know, it would be a pretty full trio to have.
Oh, what could have been? Hollywood Brown, 9 catches, 91 yards, no touchdowns. You barely got to see him. You didn't get to see why the Chiefs went out and brought in the speed demon that is Hollywood Brown. Team speed was coming back. It's going to be Legion of Zoom again. You got Worthy on one side, Hollywood Brown on the other. Rasheed Rice was going to eat that medal with Travis Kelce. Things were going to be much different for this team. It was going to be the St. Joe Chiefs that you saw. But I didn't think Hollywood Brown was coming back, to be honest with you. At his age, you know, turning 28, this was his time to go out and get the big contract, right? Put up big numbers in Kansas City with Mahomes. Then, boom, he's going to go off into another team, get a big contract, get the cash, and go on. But when you're injured, things change, Blake. When you put up 9 catches for 91 yards, your market changes at that point. Can he come back to the Chiefs? I think so. Last year around the draft, it didn't sound like he was coming back at all. Barbeach, you know, was talking about, well, we have him for 1 year. Oh, we've got him for 1 year going forward. Well, that has changed now because, well, he didn't play much last year. I want to see him, though, go, though, because I want to see what him and Xavier Worthy, both of them in the game at the same time, I want to see what they could do. Like, I'm excited. Okay, that's a good trio of receivers. I'm excited about it, Worthy and Rasheed Rice. But Rasheed Rice, you know, the suspension is going to come. When's it going to come? I don't know. How many games is it going to be? We don't know. But chances are it's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, you're crossing your fingers that nobody gets hurt. Because that's the last thing you want to see, because then you're all of a sudden you're down two receivers.
And then you're almost having a repeat of this past year. I mean, hopefully we find out soon. I mean, in the middle of camp, I don't care when it is, but I'd rather know now instead of the, I mean, and I don't even know how this is going to go. I mean, how long do they actually suspend him? Will it be a full 6 games? Will it be 4? Do you have a take on how long do you think that it possibly could be based on the charges? And if they,
I think it'll be brought down, but the NFL does suspend people. So I do see that happening. Now, how many games? I don't know. I think it could be brought down to maybe 4. 3, if you cross your fingers and get lucky?
Yeah, I'd say 4. 4 is probably the realistic choice. But, yeah, if they can somehow plead it down to 3, that'd be fantastic.
But it would be fun to see all these guys, but it doesn't mean you can't go get somebody else. And, again, I brought up that they hit on Rasheed Rice. They did, because he was number 2 as far as receptions and yards from rookie receivers. Only Puka, his rookie year, had more than Rice. Not this year, but his rookie year. And Puka was the 3rd, 5th round selection of the Rams. It's not like he was a slam dunk that anybody wanted. His 40 time wasn't that great. He did good in the gauntlet, was the number 1 receiver in the gauntlet. Like Keon Coleman last year was the slowest in the 40, was good in the gauntlet. But Puka, the 3rd, 5th round selection of the Rams. He's not the 3rd, 5th round selection if people knew how good the dude was.
Yeah, he was a diamond in the rough for them. I mean, they really hit with Puka in that draft. And I mean, if you go back and watch Puka's highlights, yeah, the kid's good, but I don't think anybody expected him to have the year that he had, especially his rookie season. And then he finished it up again this year with being very good. So, you know, it's diamonds in the rough like that, that Veach has done a very good job of being able to find so far. But how long will that continue?
Here is Veach in the left tackle situation and maybe some of the draft options for the Chiefs.
Well, I think it's like any position. I mean, there's always guys that you hit on late and that become really good players. I mean, Trey Smith was unique because of the health situation, and we got him in the sixth, but we've gotten guys like Legarius Sneed late and Isaiah Pacheco late. I mean, so yeah, I mean, there's always guys that I think over the years that get picked in the mid rounds or late rounds that go on to develop and have a great career. And again, I don't think we'll be scared to throw numbers at this. And I think the one thing that we want to do, if at all possible, is, you know, what we work hard to put that board in place. And when we have a guy and we feel like, again, if we're picking at 31 or if we move up and pick a little higher, I mean, we want to be excited about a guy that, like Xavier last year, that we know can come in and play and produce right away. And ideally that would be at the left tackle. Sometimes the numbers don't work out the way you want them to, but there will be opportunities to draft and develop guys, and our coaching staff has done a great job of that on both sides of the football. So there's always guys in different pockets that we like and feel have upside. So again, I think that would probably go back to just throwing numbers at that position and feeling good about a prospect, whether that is a guy that if we're able to get one in the first round, plug in and play, or if we get a guy, feel good about the long-term upside.
Yeah, it'd be good to go if you got one in the draft, but you better be moving down to do it. But you're not necessarily going to have the draft cap. We sit down, they have six draft picks. If they get a comp pick, it's going to be a late pick, if they're able to get a comp pick this year, which they haven't decided. They usually do that. The NFL gives that out later on. But the bottom line is, we know that's the key position. That's the one you're going to watch. And defensive line, which why today is so important for the combine and guys looking, you know, at what they're going to do. Well, Chris Jones is the guy under contract, the only one on the defensive line. So, yes, they're going to need defensive line help. That's why at pick 31, I'm not totally against them going defensive line or corner, because I consider that better players than reaching for receiver, because the receiver class isn't as good as it was last year.
Well, and as you said,
when eight of them went in the first round.
Yeah, like you said when we were talking before the show, those two positions are extremely deep this year. So you can go ahead and feel comfortable picking a guy there, knowing that there's going to be depth at that position, and you might still have a guy who still could be a mid to top tier talent who's fallen that far.
Yeah, seven wide receivers ended up going in the first round last year. They tied the record from 2004. So you get to see a lot of wide receivers last year. It's different this year. And I did see one mock that still had Luther Burden going to the Chiefs, and
would love that as a diehard Mizzou guy, but I don't see it happening.
I don't, and some have Ohio State players and say, hey, Brett Veach has never drafted Ohio State. Whether he's got a vendetta against Ohio State, I don't know, but he's never drafted an Ohio State player. So keep putting one there, and it's going to be tough to decide. Brett Veach also commented on the running back situation. Do the Chiefs need to look at the running back situation? Got two under contract, Pacheco and Steele. Which, by the way, Steele came on one of the top 30 visits they had. So he was one of those guys that came. So Jaden Hicks. Because they have that top 30 club top 30 visit you can have when you have guys come in. So, yeah, you look at some of it's a smoke screen. Although I will say, pick 31, you're not having many smoke screens at that point because you're not drafting up high. But Brett Veach commented on running backs in this draft and how deep it is. We'll talk about that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.
Welcome back to After Hours. Jim Inkley, Blake Schneider's with you. Brett Veach also commented on running backs or wide receiver. I'm on team running back this year. Now, I'm not with everybody that's kind of going, well, it's the resurgence of the running back. Look at Saquon. Look at Derrick Henry. Listen, Saquon Barkley was a huge reason why the Eagles got to the Super Bowl. But he wasn't the biggest reason why they won it. The Chiefs actually, they focused in on Saquon Barkley. Didn't have his 100 yards against the Chiefs rushing the football in the Super Bowl. But are you on board that the running backs are coming back? I think it's a deep draft. It's important to have running backs. For certain, it takes pressure off the quarterback. But I'm not going to go all in and say, well, it's the resurgence. Well, where's it been the last couple of years?
Yeah, I don't. I actually had a conversation with Tom Bahaly about this about a year or two ago. And with the defensive line sometimes getting a lot smaller because they're getting a lot faster. And I say that not literally meaning they're tinier. They're just not as big as they used to be back in the day. They're now a lot more athletic, a lot more fast. And teams have really gone away with the way they run the ball, kind of that power eye, those early 2000s, you know, Priest Holmes, Sean Alexander, LaDainian Tomlinson type running schemes. So you might have the talent to be there, but are they going to get to put it on for the NFL? And are they going to be able to last? Are teams going to be willing to sign those big contracts and have people? I mean, yeah, Saquon Barkley should have been re-signed by the Giants. He wasn't. He was a huge thing for Philadelphia.
25 carries, 57 yards in the Super Bowl. He did have six for 40 as far as receiving.
And we talked about the Chiefs being able to stop the run. But as far as a resurgence, I don't think so, because you're just not going to see the longevity from a 12, 13-year running back anymore that you used to see. But, you know, I hope so, because I love, you know, smash-mouth football.
It'd be nice to relieve Patrick Mahomes a little bit. Isaiah Pacheco, he just wasn't the same dude. You know, you didn't trust him. You trusted Kareem Hunt more down the stretch. And I think the Chiefs did too, because they'd get near halftime and Pacheco wasn't getting a bunch of the yards. You give it to Kareem Hunt. Again, this is a guy that ran a 4.37 at the combine. You're waiting for that breakaway speed. He's got it, but you got to show it. And what are you going to do on 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1? Those are important, but the Chiefs are punting in those situations because they're not picking up the first downs when they're going Pacheco. Now, Kareem Hunt was able to pick up some, and they won't run the quarterback sneak. You know, they're not going to do that. And they're trying to eliminate the tush push in the NFL anyway, so that might behoove the Chiefs if that happens. I think it was the Packers that submitted the proposal to end the tush push. I'm sure a lot of teams wish they would end the tush push, but regardless, they'll go and get a running back this year. Now, they got Pacheco in the 7th round. Don't think they're going to do that this year. I think it's going to be much higher. Here's Brett Veach on the running backs and wide receiver and explosiveness at the combine.
I think anytime you can get more, even at receiver, if you have a chance to add a player that adds an explosive element to the game, I think you're always going to be interested in. And, the running back position was unique last year with the injury, and then Kareem coming in here and giving us a really big boost middle of the season. But the good thing is, I think this draft is really, the one position on the offensive side that I think it's deep is at the running back position. I think when you look at this draft board right now, I think defensive end is very deep and talented. Defensive tackle is deep and talented. I think the corners are above average in regards to numbers. Same thing with linebackers, probably a little lower than you want to be on the offensive line. And at quarterback, we don't have to worry about quarterback, which is a good thing. But the running back is good. I think it's much deeper than last year. So I think we'll have a chance to, as you mentioned, add potentially another dynamic element there out of the backfield.
And I think they will. Because remember, with some of the things he says in these pre-draft conferences, it's like, well, we can get somebody in the 7th round or undrafted, and they can be almost a 1,000-yard rusher or 1,000-yard rusher. And Pacheco was close. But he was right on Pacheco, right?
Correct.
Do I think they're going to get running backs in this draft? I do. Do I think it's going to be Austin Jeanty or Omarion Hampton? No.
What about the cat out of KU?
Devin Neal. Could be a mid-round guy. I mean, Ollie Gordon, too.
They've already interviewed with him.
Yeah, not looking at first-round guys, but a guy that kind of resurgence. This guy, the best running back in the country 2 years ago. You know, Dylan Sampson's out there. Travion Henderson. I know they don't go Ohio State players, but Travion Henderson and Keyshawn Junkins, guys that can catch the ball out of the backfield and run. Interesting possibilities. Jacquez Hunter out of Auburn is a guy. Dylan Sampson out of Tennessee. There's going to be options. Caleb Johnson, don't think they'll get him. Cam Scataboo. Will be a guy that is going to get a lot of attention.
Scataboo is a guy who I think can be a 3-down back. I mean, it's not often you get a lot of hard hitting wide running backs.
He can do everything. He can block. He can do it all. Catch out of the backfield. He can do everything. He's like a coach's dream.
Yeah.
As far as getting him in, but
he's tough.
But they've got to find a way. You got to be able to convert the 3rd and 1 and 4th and 1. It looked like Carson Steele was going to be that dude, but you got to hold on to the ball, and that was early on, kind of an issue.
Rookie mistakes.
I really legitimately thought they were going to do the quarterback sneak.
I kept waiting for him to pull it out.
The game wasn't close enough to do it.
No.
Like a close 3rd and 1 or 4th and 1, I thought they were going to do it.
I had that thought in the back of my head. If it's close enough, they're going to pull that out and catch everybody off
guard. Just remember this, what Patrick Mahomes said at training camp 2 years ago.
probably because my kneecap was on the side of my leg. I think we were doing pretty good until that. We were really good at it until last year. I mean, last year we didn't do very well at it, so we didn't get the one in the that first one the preseason. So we've went back and kind of evaluated it, and hopefully by the time the season comes around, we can get back to converting those.
Any discussion with Andy about putting that quarterback sneak back in the
play? I always want to, because I always say that I haven't got stopped yet. But because even the one that my knee I got hurt on, I still got the first down. I'm pretty sure he's not gonna let me do it unless it's like for the Super Bowl or not. So I might have to call my own number in the Super Bowl if we get there.
See, there you go. I legitimately thought he would do it because everybody would be surprised about it because they haven't run it since Denver. And they did get the first down on the play. Would they have run that situation? I think so. But you know what? Get strong up the middle. Run the football, get backs to catch out of the backfield. Make this offense more dynamic like it was early on. I mean, they've shifted the defense lately, but, hey, put some points on the board, put some pressure. And I know a lot of people talked about they didn't score over 30 points this year. There was twice they could have, but they ended up just running the clock out, you know, at the end. It was smart playing at the end to run the clock out. The good news is we know they can win close games because they've done it. It's what they do. One-possession games, they do. Patrick Mahomes getting beat by more than one score is not something that happens much in his career. That was only the sixth time in his career, both regular season and postseason, where he's lost by more than a touchdown and two-point conversion. Like, that doesn't happen very often. But regardless, I think that running back will be something they do on day two. Maybe as early as day two, day three. Remember, they have the second pick overall in the third round because they got Tennessee's pick, which is pick 66, which is the second pick of the third round. Not the first, because Tennessee and Cleveland, of course, will rotate because of the record.
To me, that seems like the sweet spot right there. If you can find a gem at the top of the third round who maybe kind of fell out of that second round, it was probably projected, you know, mid to late second round, falls to third, or just best available at that second position or at that second pick, because you got a later third round pick. So that seems like the sweet spot to me.
Yeah, Tennessee gets it, but because Tennessee and Cleveland all tied with the same record, even though with all the tiebreakers and everything, Tennessee gets the number one overall, they switch. Then Cleveland gets the number one and around. They just rotate those top three per the different rounds. Coming up next, though, interesting thing, new rules in the NFL that they're thinking about doing. Will it make a difference or not? We'll discuss that next.
You're listening to After Hours, brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views on your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5, The Fan.